Hey everybody, welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us. I'd like to welcome those of you who are a part of the Bay Area Echo family, those of you who are joining us from Crossroads Church, other churches here in the Bay. And I was also encouraged this past week, there were people from over 40 states who joined for Echo Church Online, and there were another 30 plus countries that were with us, which is just unbelievable. God is using this situation to reach and impact many people with the good news about Jesus. In fact, last week alone, there were 140 plus people that indicated first-time decisions to follow Jesus, which is just unbelievable. I'm so encouraged by that. And I'm encouraged by those of you who are spreading the word, who are inviting your friends and your family members to be a part. Right now, you can actually go ahead and start a Facebook watch party. If you go to Echo Church on Facebook, you can invite your friends and family, and that will help us get the word out to many people, to spread good news, to bring peace and joy in the midst of this crisis. Now, I want to identify, we are in crazy times. If you feel a little bit crazy right now, you are normal. In fact, all of us have had our lives completely turned upside down. Maybe for some of you, you've lost your job, your schedule has completely changed. And I want you to know that we're praying for you, that this is a difficult time. It's really one of the most crazy times in modern human history. And our church is here to help. We're doing everything that we can to give you resources, to help you, and to provide hope in the midst of this craziness. One of the things you may have seen last week that we rolled out is a website, basically a platform, echocompassion.com, to get people who have needs matched with those who have the ability to help during this time. If you know somebody who has a need, we want to encourage you to send them to that site so that they can get some resources and supplies, and so we as a church can come alongside them. Also, I'd like for you to know we're taking precautions. You may have been watching the service and realized that we're in a building together. And I have been in communication with the mayor of San Jose. And one of the things that he told me is he expressed, number one, is gratitude for what Echo is doing to serve the community. And number two, that what we do is so essential to the health of the community that he has blessed our efforts to record our messages. And we're doing everything that we can to stay safe and stay healthy. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Now, we are in week number three of a message series here, and this message series is called Unlikable Christian. If you've been around for a while, you know a lot of times Christians get a reputation for being unlikable. And that unlikability, it hurts our influence. It makes it very difficult. When people see us as irrelevant, when people see us as judgmental, it makes it hard for us to make a difference. But this series has been so timely because it has been one of the greatest opportunities for us in our church's history to make a difference in our community and ultimately in our world. And we've been looking at four key characteristics to make a difference. Number one, in the first week, we talked about generosity. And we said, what if we could flip the situation instead of hoarding and being greedy? What if we could become the kind of people that we're generous with those around us? And I've loved hearing stories of so many of you who are out in the community, you're serving, you're blessing people underneath the COVID restrictions, of course, but you're already making a difference. You're using technology to serve. You're using resources to make a difference. Last week, we talked about staying calm. And I looked at a story last week of Jesus, how he was asleep in the midst of a storm, how he found peace in a storm. And we gave you some tools and some help around staying calm in the midst of the crisis. Now, today for our third message, I want to talk about how do you stay faithful or be faithful in the midst of this? Because if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot that is happening around us. And sometimes it's hard to find your stability. Many of your habits probably have gotten thrown off. Perhaps you've watched a few too many Netflix shows. Maybe you've picked up some new habits in the midst of this. And my big idea for the message today is that it is entirely possible for you to be faithful in the midst of times that are frightening. In fact, if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write this phrase down, that we can be faithful in the midst of frightening seasons. It's possible in the midst of frightening circumstances, in the midst of frightening seasons of life, to be faithful. And I want to help you with that today. And to get us started, I want you to wrestle through a question. Now, the first question is a question that you're probably already asking, and it's the question, how do I get through this season? In fact, that question is a question that I've wrestled through a lot with being at home with work. I feel like I'm going to go crazy. I feel like every organization I've ever signed up for their email list, they've sent me an email, and they're inviting me to a one-hour seminar that's going to help me get through COVID. In fact, there have been so many nonprofit and pastoral organizations talking about how do you get through COVID that I wonder if, like, maybe they're saying the way you get through COVID is sit on seminars about COVID. So maybe you feel that, and you're pulling your hair out saying, how do I get through this season? And I think that that's a legitimate question to wrestle through. And I want to encourage you, you're going to get through this. You're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. The church is going to make it through. The good news of Jesus is going to make it through. And on the other side of this, so many lives are going to have been impacted, and your faith is going to grow deeper. But there are going to be many people who come through this season, and they're going to have a tremendous amount of regret. And I think that the more important question to wrestle through is not how do I get through, but the more important question is how do I get through this season without regret? How do I get through this crazy season of my life, of our nation and world's history? How do I personally get through this season and come out of it without regret? That's what we're going to wrestle through today. And faithfulness, by far, is the most important characteristic for you to prevail through this season. It's the most important character trait that will allow you to come through without regret. We're going to look today for our time at a story in the Old Testament of the Bible. And the character's name is Daniel. Daniel is perhaps one of the greatest characters of all of Scripture in the Old Testament. And he prevailed in a tremendously frightening time. In fact, we see Daniel's story in Daniel chapter 1. If you were to read the story, when he was a teenager, he grew up in Jerusalem. And at that time, the Babylonian Empire came in and took over Jerusalem. They took all of the teenagers and young adults and people who had intellectual capacity and rare talents and giftedness. They took them back to Babylon, and Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, but it was kind of a weird captivity. In fact, it was what the historians have called friendly captivity, which maybe you feel like you're in friendly captivity right now, stuck inside of your home. And as Daniel was there in Babylon, in exile, through multiple decades of his life, he emerged as one of the greatest leaders for the Babylonian Empire, which is really odd to think about, because Daniel was not Babylonian. He was not one of the people of that nation. Yet as an Israelite, he emerged and he was distinguished based upon his character. And today the story that we're going to look at is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's called Daniel and the Lion's Den. And when we look at this story, we need to keep in mind that Daniel at this point is close to 80 years old. In fact, he has been the right hand of three different political leaders throughout the course of this book. And we're going to see his influence on the king of his day in Daniel chapter 6 as we look at this powerful story. It begins and it says, "It pleased Darius, who was the leader of the Babylonian Empire at the time, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be leaders throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss." So the king is now entering into his leadership. This is like the beginning of his reign as the leader, and he's putting into place all of these different leaders. And it says, "Then Daniel became so distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was inside of him, and the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom." I mean, we just have to think about this for a second. So Daniel, as an Israelite, is going to be over the entirety of the kingdom, and he was distinguished. He was set apart. And notice how in this passage that it says there was an excellent spirit that was inside of Daniel. And I want you to recognize, and for us to see through this passage, that the Holy Spirit who is in you can help you act differently than the world around you. That when God takes up residence in a person's heart, when somebody puts their trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. And as the Spirit of God lives inside of you, the Spirit of God can help you respond differently than everybody else around you. When people are responding with greed, you can respond with generosity. When people are responding with fear, you can respond with faith. When people are responding with anxiety, you can have peace in the midst of crisis. In fact, I've loved watching this week, even just being on the Nextdoor app, seeing the range of responses and seeing people are coming on fearful, complaining about what's happening in the community. And then you're seeing followers of Jesus insert hope. I've seen people from our church going door to door with groceries for people who are in need, serving elderly, and seeing how when the Spirit of God takes control of a person's life, we don't have to respond the way the rest of the world is, the way other people are responding. We can respond differently. And Daniel in captivity was distinguished by the Spirit of God that was inside of him. When you follow Jesus and the Spirit of God takes up residence, there's a fruit that comes out of your life. The scripture describes it as love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That fruit will get you distinguished. It'll get you distinguished on Zoom calls. It will get you distinguished inside of your chats that you have online and your posts that you're putting out. And when you're going to a grocery store, your facial expressions will be different because the Spirit of God is in you. And I want you to see and for us to recognize that our faithfulness or your faithfulness to God, like Daniel, is determined by your faith in God. And the faithfulness of God that has carried you through past seasons of life can carry you through this season of life. In fact, part of the reason why Daniel was so distinguished in this passage is because he had confidence in God. All throughout the book of Daniel, he had seen God perform mighty miracles. And he knew when he was in chapter 6, when this new leader emerges, he knew that God would sustain him. He had a sense of confidence that if God had been faithful in the past, God was going to be faithful right now here in this story. And I want to encourage you right now, even just for a moment, to remember back on difficult experiences that you've had in your life in the past. And remember the kind of resiliency that you displayed to get through some of those moments. And for those of you who are followers of Jesus, I want you to remember how God carried you through that time, how God sustained you and strengthened you. And that faith that you have now in God and His faithfulness in the past is the thing that can give you faithfulness right now here in this moment. And Daniel displays this so beautifully. He has faith in God. Now, before we see his faith in God, first we have to see what happens with several of his co-workers. In fact, Daniel's co-workers get a little bit jealous of him. They get jealous of his giftedness and his talents. And in verse 4, it says, the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government's affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy, so that they concluded the only grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. There was nothing on this guy's character that they could pin on him. He was on time for meetings. He completed his task list. He did everything that he said that he was going to do. He was completely faithful in the midst of frightening circumstances. And I hope that you see from Daniel in his life that it is possible for you and I to be faithful in the midst of frightening circumstances. And your character that you are experiencing right now, and character in general, goes with you from one season of life to the next. Daniel chapter 6 is not this isolated moment in history without a connection to the past or the future. In fact, character comes with us from one chapter of life to the next. You're seeing things in you that you have brought with you from the last chapter of life. And I wonder, what is it that you're bringing with you? You're seeing some good things. You're seeing some bad things. I love even, I've watched in my wife, Stacy, the last couple of weeks, the strength of character that she's brought with her, that from 12, 13, 14 years old, pursuing Jesus faithfully in prayer, I've seen that character in her. And I want to encourage you, there are probably some really good things that you're seeing in yourself or the people around you. Tell them. Tell them what you see in them that they've brought with them. But then let's be honest with ourselves. There's some things that we see that we don't like. I see even in me a craziness being locked in an office all day on Zoom calls. Now, I'm grateful But that craziness even can cause me to lose perspective and maybe even miss out on gratitude that I should have in this moment. What are you bringing with you? And then the more important question that I want you to reflect on is, what will you take with you into the next chapter? Because the choices you make right now in crisis, in the midst of COVID, are not going to stay in COVID. I remember going through a personal crisis back in 2014, and we were in turmoil. Personally, as a church, we were going through a very difficult time, and I developed a habit of sitting on a couch eating chocolate at the end of the day. It was like my coping mechanism. And I remember when I got out of the crisis, I still wanted the chocolate every single night. I had formed a habit. And your choices are forming habits, and those habits are becoming your character. And I want you to honestly assess right now the choices that you are making in the midst of this COVID season. What are you going to take with you into the next season? And it is entirely possible for you to be faithful and to make faithful choices, to have faithful habits in this season in the midst of frightening circumstances. And when the world is out of control, that's when it becomes most important for us to focus on our own self-control. When everything around you is in turmoil, the jurisdiction that you and I have is our own self-control. It's easy to feel like you have no control, which in reality, the things beyond the walls of your house, you and I really don't have much control, but we always do have self-control, and we can be faithful like Daniel was in this passage. So Daniel's friends try to get him in trouble, and they recognize that the only grounds for getting him in trouble was his faith in God. And what they decide to do is they're going to get orders in place that will get him thrown into prison for his faith. In fact, in verse 7, Daniel chapter 6, it says that these men came to the king and they asked the king to give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, King Darius, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den. So you see their character that they've brought from the last chapter of life, this conniving, evil spirit of theirs trying to get Daniel in trouble for his faith. There's a jealousy about them. And we're going to see in this passage that compromise is not merely a matter of circumstances, it's a matter of character. It's easy to think when there's a separation from one season of life to the next that compromise comes from our circumstances. But in this passage, we see three distinct characters. We see Daniel, we see Darius, and we see these men who are trying to get Daniel in trouble. And all of them respond differently to the circumstances, and they're responding out of character. They're not responding because of circumstances. Now, as they do this, they continue their appeal to Darius, and they say, and now, Majesty, issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius, sign the law. Now think about this for a second. King Darius is going to be God for a month, and anybody who prays to anybody other than him is going to go into a lion's den. Imagine what you would have felt in that moment if you're Daniel. Imagine the inner tension. And Daniel has a few options at this point. I mean, of course, he's going to continue to do his job well. He's going to be faithful with his work. But how's he going to respond in terms of his faith in God? How's he going to respond in terms of his relationship with his creator that he's had faith in for multiple decades? See, Daniel, in the midst of this moment, has to make a decision. Is he going to trust in the law of the land, or is he going to trust in the word of God, in his creator? Now, I think it's been great over the last couple of weeks to recognize that we haven't had to choose between following the orders of our land and following the ways of God. In fact, at this point in our nation's history, we have had some very benevolent help from our local government here in San Jose, from our California government, trying to do everything that they can to protect people, even from the national government, to try to stimulate the economy, both Republicans and Democrats working together. And I think I'm so grateful right now that we do have benevolent leadership in our country that sees the value of the church and trying to help the good news and the hope that we have to spread. But in this moment, Daniel, He's trapped. There is not a benevolent situation around him. And he has to make a decision. He could go radio silent with his faith. He could be just obnoxious with his faith, or he could continue to do the things that he's done for a really long period of time. And if you were Daniel, what would you do? I know for me, I'd probably be wrestling through how can I still be faithful to God but not get in trouble and not get thrown into the lion's den? But Daniel, he was a little different than most people. In verse 10, it says, but when Daniel learned that this law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open towards heaven or towards Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. It's possible to be faithful in the midst of frightening circumstances. Daniel, he's not even under order from God to pray at these times of day, but it has become such a habit for him to turn to God in crisis that he cannot help himself. I love this story. It encourages my heart so much with this reality that I can be faithful. I mean, Daniel's circumstances were far greater than anything that I've faced in the last couple of weeks, yet he remain faithful to God. And I want you to know as a church that we want to help you with this. In fact, we're going to be launching out some resources this week called Critical Habits. And we want to give you some critical habits that you can put in place daily in your life, that you can put in place weekly in your life that will help you stay faithful in the midst of frightening circumstances. And Daniel, his habits had been so grounded. He had critical habits in place that when the pressure came on, his character shined brightly and he stayed true to who he was because he had cultivated these habits over time. One of these critical habits for Daniel was his gratitude and prayer back to God, that multiple times throughout the day, he would get on his knees and he would pray. There were set times that he would pray. And I want us to write this phrase down, that we are strengthened through consistent gratitude and prayer. There's something powerful that Daniel knew, that if he could get on his knees and pray and thank God, even though he might lose his life, that would center him in the midst of crisis. It would center him in the midst of imminent danger that was ahead of him. In fact, the greatest remedy for panic is prayer. That when you feel overwhelmed with anxiety, you can always turn to God in prayer. No matter what your situation and circumstance, God is right there waiting for you to turn to him the way that Daniel turned to him in the midst of his crisis. And when there is nothing that you can do, there is always one thing that you can do, and that's to pray. I love hearing stories of those of you who've turned your clocks to 7:14 to join us in the 2 Chronicles 7:14 prayer that we're praying as a church. And those of you who continue to join us on Wednesdays as we fast breakfast and lunch together, praying for God to move in our nation. And I want to encourage you during this time that one of the most important daily habits that you can have is turning to God. In fact, I want to encourage you, as I have several weeks in a row, to truncate the news, to say, before I go to the media, before I turn to stats, I'm turning to God. Before I turn my phone on and I start working, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to center myself in God. You might not even be a follower of Jesus yet, and you're joining us, and we're so glad that you're with us. And I have such great confidence that if you would turn to God in prayer and the Bible, reading the Bible, that God will speak to you and he'll encourage you. That you might even start somewhere in the New Testament, like the Gospel of John, and just read one chapter a day and ask God to, if he's there, to reveal himself to you. And I believe that that one habit can lead to such strengthening and a fortifying of your character in the midst of the craziness around us. Daniel does this. And as he does this, his friends, or his fake friends, come up, his co-workers, I should say. And they discover him there at the place that he had been multiple times before. And it says, so at last, as the king gave orders for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den, after they found him, they took him to Darius and he got sentenced to the lion's den. And it says, at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the line of den of lions. And the king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." So the moment comes where Daniel is going to be thrown into the lion's den. In verse 17, it says that a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. And the king returned to his palace and spent the rest of the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all. And I want you to recognize that God never promises to us that we won't encounter difficulty. In fact, Jesus said one time, "In this world, you will have difficulty, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, our confidence is not in our circumstances. In fact, God's deliverance sometimes can come from our circumstances. Sometimes God's deliverance comes through our circumstances. And I think that what we're seeing in the midst of this crisis are two realities that we all deeply know, but you feel them when you're under pressure. And number one, it's that you're ultimately, or I'm ultimately, or we're ultimately not in control. We're not in control of the universe. There is a sovereign God who stands outside of the universe and he controls it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's not surprised by our situation or circumstances, and he is gracious. He's not just sovereign, but he's also a good, kind, loving God, and he's in control. We're not in control of the universe. And secondly, we all eventually, like Daniel in this passage, will face death, every one of us. And our hope is not getting delivered from COVID. Our hope is not in the economy rebounding or getting some stimulus package from the government. Our hope is in a good God who is kind, that even if we die in COVID, even if we die in sickness, all of us will face that reality. Those of us who've placed our faith and trust in Jesus have the confidence and hope of an eternity with him. And the reason we do is because the stone was rolled away. Now, I'm not talking particularly about the stone of Daniel. There's another stone that we're going to talk about in a moment that was rolled away. But let's watch what happens when the stone in Daniel is rolled away. It says, in fact, very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue from the lions?" So imagine all night Daniel is in the den. He is looking at these lions. He's seeing their faces in front of him. And it says, Daniel responds back, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the mouth so that it would not hurt me from the lions, for I have been found innocent in his sight." God delivers him from the situation. And it says, "I have not wronged you, your majesty. There was no ill will in me." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he trusted in his God. One more time, I want to say, if you haven't heard it already, it's possible, entirely possible, to be faithful in the face of frightening circumstances. And I believe today that like Daniel, God wants to encourage your heart that there is a stone that was rolled away. And the ultimate stone was the stone that was placed over the grave of Jesus when his body was placed there after being crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. Our hope, our confidence is in an empty tomb. It is in the reality that God has overcome death. And because Jesus died on a cross for your sins and overcame the grave, you can have relationship with God. In fact, right now, I want to give two appeals. Number one, I want to give an appeal to those of you who've never trusted in Jesus, who've never received forgiveness from your sins. Today, right now, in this moment, you can begin relationship with God that goes from now through all eternity. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus is the most important decision that you will ever make. God loves you so much. And if it were only for one person, just you, Jesus would have come and died on a cross for your sins so that you can be forgiven. I want to encourage you right now, if you've never made that decision, to put your trust in him. You can do that very simply by praying and saying, "God, I believe that you came, that you died on a cross for my sins, Jesus. I want to invite you to forgive me for my sins. I believe that you rose again from the dead, and I surrender my whole life to you. If you prayed that prayer, you made the most important decision you'll ever make. And right now, there's a place that you can click on Church Online. Let us know that you made that decision to trust in Jesus for the very first time for the forgiveness of your sins. And we celebrate with you. In fact, we want to give you some resources and some tools. If you click that link, we'll send you some resources throughout the course of this week. And we want to help you. We're so excited about that decision that you've made. Others of you, one of the most important things that you can do is respond to take some next steps. In fact, in just a moment, our campus hosts are going to come back on. They're going to lead you in a response time to take some steps. Some of you, maybe it's to get involved in serving. In fact, we have reorganized the church around 6 key teams. And with this time, you can serve at home. You can serve as a part of our Echo Compassion. And we're going to have some great opportunities to make a difference, to be faithful. Also, we're going to give you some resources this week through our social media channels to help you with your habits at home, to be faithful on a daily basis and on a weekly basis. So make sure to stay tuned for that. And in just a moment, we're going to enter into a generosity response time. In fact, this is something we do every week as a church when we're gathered physically, and we're going to do it together as we're gathered virtually. Right now, we're going to have an opportunity to give back to God. You're going to see a link that comes on the screen. You can do this digitally by clicking on that link. For Crossroads, as you click on that link as well, there's a place that you can give. But I want to say, as you give today, thank you for your generosity. I am hearing so many amazing stories of what God is doing. In fact, it's important for you to know what has happened as a result of your generosity. Last week, I encouraged you to step up. There were so many of you that stepped up in a really big way. And as a result of your generosity, amazing things are happening. We were able to give away resources already to churches in our community who are in need. We've had the privilege of literally helping dozens of churches in the Bay Area with resources. We created a resource page. There are actually churches that are coming to our physical buildings to film their services as well. And all this is happening because of your generosity and the strength of our church. Also, last week, as we launched out Echo Compassion, I heard stories of people who are already helping those in need. I heard a story of one family in our church who was able to take groceries to an elderly couple. They're not able to go outside because they're sheltered and because of physical health, but they did a drop. They, you know, used a wipe and sanitized everything, and they dropped groceries at somebody's front door. They wrote a note of love and just encouragement. And just that simple step is happening because of you. And I want to encourage you as you give today, that you're making a difference already. If you've yet to join us in that, we invite you to be a part of that. Again, you'll see this link here on the screen. There's a place that you can click above me as well if you're joining on a computer to participate with us. Thank you for making a difference. The good news of Jesus is going forward. Lives are being changed. We're going to get through this. But not only are we going to get through it, we're going to get through it together. We're going to get through it as a church without regret. And on the back end, this is going to be one of the most defining moments in the history of our church. Thank you for believing in this vision. Thank you for participating. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, and then I'll send it to our campus host. Father, thank you today for the good news of your love and your faithfulness. Thank you for those who are giving even now today generously to make a difference. And now, even as we process our next steps in response to today's message, I pray that you would help us take practical steps to be faithful during this season. Thank you for your spirit that dwells in those of us who follow you. And I pray that that spirit, your spirit inside of us, would distinguish us from the world around us. And as a result, many people would come to know you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.